tonight on X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future, where the results are always positive, we have a very special guest. If you had access to the archives folder, you would know who it is. If you listened to last week's live program, you would know who it is. I was neglectful and did not update my future guests table, or you all would know who it is. He was a witness at the May 2001 National Press Club Disclosure Project testimony. He was in the United States Navy and held a top secret crypto level 14 extra sensitive material handling clearance. He worked in the code room at the Naval Communications Station in San Francisco. And in 1969, he received a priority message from a ship near Alaska that was classified as secret. The ship reported a brightly glowing elliptical object 70 feet in diameter that came up out of the ocean, shot into space at about Mach 10. He is here with us tonight, and we are happy to have him here. Please welcome Dan Willis. How are you?
I'm great. I'm very grateful to be on the show with you, Brooks. Thank you.
Well, this is going to be awesome. I have long been a fan, but I guess I'm actually a fanatic about the Disclosure Project and about the information that apparently is out there but exists in secret filing cabinets somewhere.
Hold on. We got the voice levels between the two of you are way too different. His is extremely high and yours is extremely low. So either we got to get your guest to talk really soft, you're going to talk up, or we're going to have to put you on separate lines. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right. Sorry about the technical difficulty there. I've tried to boost my output so that you can hear my voice a little better. I trust that's okay with my producer. I guess
okay,
I know. To me, we sound good, but sometimes this stuff goes all the way across to California and then goes out over the internet to millions of listeners around the world. And sometimes that technology is a little bit lacking in getting the sound level to everybody. I guess I should let our listeners know that Mr. Willis has provided us with clips from which we will share the audio. And these are actual historical records and testimony that have to do with the subject of UFOs. If you are afraid of knowing that we are not alone on this planet, perhaps you better tune in to the last few laps of the Indianapolis 500. But if you really want to know about UFOs, and what's going on, then don't miss a single word of tonight's program. Dan, in modern times, we really started getting exposed to the idea that there were visitors from other worlds somewhere, I think, in the mid-50s. And I think the culture of Roswell and the crash retrieval crowd came even later than that. I think it wasn't until about 18 years ago that cable TV made it to the more rural parts of the country. And then the story that in 1969 you had an experience that was the first of a few, I suppose, but you really hadn't considered disclosing anything until what time? When did it really hit you that you might have to disclose to the public what you knew?
Well, as you know, I'm only one of over 450 military intelligence witnesses that have become aware of the government's lying to us, and that we need to disclose the truth, for the future of our planet. I'm actually no authority on the subject, but I can speak from what I know from firsthand, from what I've learned from all these different witness testimonies, which is quite numerous. You know, you think they have a situation where you have 12 people, just 12 people willing to testify under oath about something, you'd have somebody's interest. But if you have a subject that is meant to be suppressed, you can have hundreds and hundreds of people that are astronauts, generals, admirals, it doesn't matter. And it won't get the attention.
Well, I'm kind of curious about that night. You know, who else was in the room with you when this happened?
He's talking about my particular witness Yeah, you're the code room?
Yeah, when you were in the code room in 1969 and you had this report of from the ship in Alaska, who else was in the room with you when it happened?
Well, it's interesting. One other code operator was working with me. I was in charge of a little small room that was, you know, say 25 feet by 25 feet. I was a certified high-speed code and teletype operator. So I was listening to eight ship-to-shore circuits simultaneously, listening for the call sign of the station, which was MPG, Morse code type of thing.
Right.
It's interesting. I've taken thousands of top-secret messages, and it's like a movie camera went on my mind. The day that message came in, it's like it burned an image in the back of my head. I can remember exactly getting up, going to what circuit was on, putting on my headphones, taking in the message, doing the authentications. And as I was, translating high-speed code, I'm typing it out. I'm reading this, and I can't believe what I'm reading. The ship is giving all the details, latitude, longitudes, secret priority message going to High Naval Command, Chief Naval Operations, Washington, D.C. And I'm typing the whole thing out. And, by the way, you gave a good description. I have to keep do that again. And I was thinking, oh, my God, where's the Xerox machine? But I was like, oh, better not do that. That's a prison sentence. So I passed it on.
Now,
it struck my curiosity about the subject. I was interested in science fiction movies like a kid, and just thought, oh, how wonderful, we could... all this imagination, about science fiction and other planets and all this technology. And to receive a message like that, it all put a seed in my head. And, it wasn't until, I've been following the subject for many years, and always knew there was something to it, but, there was so much UFO craziness, let's say, all the noise going on about, all the aliens and all the fear factor elements and things coming in, and I knew it wasn't giving the full message. So forgive the call waiting. Someone's trying to call in.
Oh, that's all right. We'll give them a phone number to call after a while.
It was a situation that a friend of mine who wanted to go to a UFO conference, and I have no interest in going because I've heard all the stories. Everybody was doing essentially the same thing, talking about all these different things, and you knew something was up. Everybody, I think all the listeners know that, obviously they're past ET 101. You have a fairly educated crowd. They know that, yes, we are being visited from off-planet cultures. I like to use that terminology rather than UFO ETs because we have so much indoctrination over the years of all of the ridicule and craziness that's associated with the words UFO and ET.
You and I are the same there. I like to use off-world, but off-planet sounds more sophisticated and more realistic.
Yeah, so, everyone knows something's going on, but they know the government knows something. You don't have hundreds of witnesses that are, the rank and levels and with supporting official documentation like the people who joined me. By the way, my testimony was, by far the least significant of the other testimonies, which were, amazing testimonies about, alien bases on the other side of the moon, retrieval cases, ICBMs being shut down, NASA airbrushing. On and on, all the different testimonies that the other testimonies revealed with official supporting documentation paints a picture that is something that was not disclosed in the media. But anyway, go back to the story. When I went to a UFO conference and heard Dr. Greer speak, and he said he had the head FAA administrator. He was going to go to Washington, and I thought, oh, my God, finally, somebody's going to do something. Now, somebody's not just talking. Somebody's actually has the courage to get up there and do something. And I think some of the witnesses weren't all showing up, and I kind of volunteered myself, you know, to go. Actually, I was in a cocktail party, and I was holding some hors d'oeuvres, and Dr. Greer came over and said, oh, could I have one of these? And sure. Oh, by the way, I used to have a high-level top-secret clearance, and I took a message of a ship. You know, I didn't think my testimony was really significant, but he said, no, it is significant because it, you know, collaborates with the other testimonies. So, God, the night before I went to Washington, I was tossing and turning. I had a really rough night thinking about, my God, what's going to happen? You know, all, you know, because I became aware of what the other testimonies were saying. And if this got out on every major media, it would, it, you know, it would change life as we know it on this planet. And so, I had this dream, and the dream, I was at the National Press Club. This is, you know, the night before going to the press club, and every witness came up, gave their testimony, gave their evidence, and after all 20 witnesses got done, Black Ops representative, I guess if you want to call it, secret government, cabal, whatever you want to use the terminology, came up and effectively discredited every single witness testimony, saying, oh, no, these are top, you know, in the dream, anything can happen, right? These are like secret projects, and this is based on this, this is based on that, and, you know, and all the witnesses were looking at each other dumbfounded and said, my God, how did they do that? They knew it was a lie, but how did they discredit us, you know? And I looked at the black op, you know, not feeling anger or resentment toward him. I just looked at him and said, you know, it's amazing the amount of work and research you guys do to keep this whole subject under the wraps. I really have to commend you, you know, on all the efforts you put forth to keep the secret from the public. And it's like something happened. It's like all of a sudden, everybody became aware at the press club that, you know, this whole thing has, you know, been BS. We're hurting ourselves by lying. We're hurting each other. And that was the end of the dream. And then I ended up, you know, getting on my flight, going to National Press Club. We all did our witness testimony. And nobody came up to discredit everybody. In fact, the 22 cameras of all the major networks that were back there, they're filming the whole thing. When they got done, everybody was cheering. But right afterward, after it, you know, after it got on the major media, after it went through the editing room, essentially the main message, which was several points, and I'd like to get into that a little later on, was effectively edited out. So the message wasn't given to the world, and a world event that should have had repercussions that would change everybody's life on this entire planet was effectively, you know.
Yeah, the wind nullified. The wind was completely taken out of the sails. I saw that event live. I remember coming home from the manufacturing facility that I managed at the time, and I was kind of a C-SPAN addict, and I turned on C-SPAN, and there was a National Press Club, and it had just started. It just happened to hit it just right. Sitting down with my supper, had my TV tray ready to go, and I don't think I touched my meal because my jaw was on the floor for about an hour and 15 minutes. Witness after witness came up, and you could hear the emotion in their voices when you heard their testimony, when you heard their credentials, who they were, how long they had worked in their position. They're solid as any government worker could be, honest, patriotic, and yet they had dealt with something and worked with something that they did not want to take to their grave. And they wanted people to know what they knew. And that was very moving for me. It really was. And I thought, you know what? The ice is broken. We're going to go forward from here in a big way. And the panic that the Brookings Institution thought was going to happen never happened. And I'm sure millions of people watched that over the years. And I guess they're ready for the sequel. But somebody's IMing me. They have a question. The ship that communicated with you, was it a naval vessel or was it just a private vessel, a corporate vessel out there?
It was a USNS ship. I don't remember the ship's name, but it was a USNS, which means it's a naval supply ship, not one of the warships, USS ships, but it was in support of the it was a U.S. Navy ship, yeah.
All right, so
they visually saw it. There was a visual of the crew that saw it, and the ship's radar operator tracked it going over 7,000 miles per hour as it merged out of the ocean and shot into space. This was 1969. I was just a kid.
What was the response? What was the response of the people on the ship? I mean, they're out there on the open ocean, and this thing 70 feet in diameter comes up out of the water and goes zipping off into space. What was their response?
Well, I was on the receiving end of an official message, so, you know, you're not going to get anything like that. Basically, latitude, longitude, and, you know, just straight-laced facts of the event, you know, going to High Naval Command.
I just thought it would be interesting because that ship had a captain, and it had a crew who probably was made up of young men just like you, and they had an experience as well. What happened to them?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, Brooks. In fact, I wanted to track that down, so I put in a Freedom of Information Act inquiry, you know, off to the Office of Naval Intelligence, because I had a lot of detail. I mean, I knew it was USNS ship, I knew what year, I knew what facility was coming in, who was going out to, so I had enough data in order for them to track it down. I got back the official letter from Office of Naval Intelligence, and they said, you know, the information's been destroyed. I also, you know, being a ham radio operator, I got on to ex-radio operator network on the radio, and I tried to find some people that were involved in the same base that I was. And I found a fellow that worked many years later in the exact same room I did. And I worked for 2 years in the code room. That's why my hearing shot. You know, listening to Morse code for 2 years straight. And he was in there for 4 years. And I asked him, have you ever received any UFO reports? And he never received them. So, you know, they're extremely rare. They happen not that often. But, you know, we have, you know, obviously enough witnesses to build a case.
How big was the ship? And was it a cruiser? Was it a destroyer? You know, how many people were on this boat?
Again, you know, I wasn't able to get the name of the ship, so I don't have any further information other than, you know, the report that the ship gave.
Wow. So, now this code operator that was working in the room with you, did you turn around and say, hey, you're not going to believe this? Or did he see the code with you? Did you look at each other and go, wow?
I think I did mention to him. In fact, you know, I it's funny, you know, it was like many, many years ago. I met him in a laundromat, and I don't have any way of tracking him down, you know, to... and I don't know how good his memory is. That was a long time ago. And I'm actually, you know, most of the guys there at the press club were older than me. I'm one of the youngest guys, and this happened a long time ago. So, you know, the clamps now on security have much more refined. You know, in the 50s, there was a lot of stuff came out, you know, in classified documents. I mean, there's a lot of leakage, a lot of slippage, but I think they tightened up the security as years went on, is my impression.
I can see that.
In the 40s, we unwittingly created a system of security which, you know, corporate self-serving interests found a way to go into and manipulate and control while isolating itself from the legal government's oversight so it could pursue its own agenda. unfortunately, at the cost of the people of Earth.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. How was this handled over the weeks and months, you know, following this event? You had had an event which you thought, you know, was going to change the world that happened in front of you, and then nothing happened. Did it just, you know, was it business as usual, dots and dashes the rest of your career in the Navy, or were there discussions, were there debriefings? What happened?
Oh, you mean from the... from the Disclosure Project event?
No, from the Navy, when you were in the Navy and this event occurred, and you, somebody obviously had to read it, did they say,
everything is highly compartmentalized. I worked in a blockhouse, which was a highly top-secret facility. It was the busiest military communication facility on the planet at the time. I had a red badge that allowed, you know, pushing the doors, you know, you go into, allowed me into just about every work. I had a fairly high level clearance. When you're operating in that type of thing, it's, everything's compartmented. Not one person knows what another person's doing. You don't share information unless a person has a need to know. So after I got that message, I handed it on to the communications watch officer, and that was it. No more.
Wow. Gotcha. Well, I'm at the bottom of the hour. At the time, was there an official protocol for handling these types of reports in the Navy at that time? Did you have, being a top secret code person, every once in a while you're going to receive a message that needs to get to upper channels, or... I know I was in the military myself. Usually they have a protocol for everything. So was there a protocol at that time for handling these types of reports?
You know, that's an interesting statement, because, you know, with a ship's short circuit, basically, you know, Morse code. Code is backup, and it still is today, I believe, unless they figured out a way to... you know, circumvent atmospheric situations. What happens is, if you try to do high-speed data, you know, like a teletype or whatever, you know, 1969 was pretty, you know, primitive stuff back then, you know, from what they have now.
Sure.
But, you know, still we're using, you know, the ionosphere to bounce signals off of. And when there's a lot of atmospheric noise and you're trying to get a teletype signal through, you're getting a lot of gibberish. And the only thing that can make it through is a code signal, because a trained code operator can perceive through an enormous amount of noise a code signal that's way in the background, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. be able to receive the message.
Huh. Interesting.
What I was thinking.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was thinking, you know, for some of the. Some of the audience that, you know, is like, this is totally new to, I thought maybe I'd give a little brief history of how this, let's say, covert operations got involved in our military.
Yeah, you know, we have coded communications between ships and land, and coordination between command and control, and in those days, you know, it's done by ELF, broadcasted out to subs and ships, so no one else but that ship can pick up the information and decode it. How did we get ourselves in this mess? What were the events that caused this cloak of secrecy to be created in the first place?
Good question to lead into this. Well, you know, in 1945 we started testing atomic weapons, you know, and there was, according to many of the Disclosure Project witnesses, we have heavy interest by, you know, the ET civilizations. And in 1947, July 8th, you know, ET craft was brought down in Roswell by high-powered radars, according to, you know, Colonel Corso and other witness testimonies that have collaborated that as well, even though it's, you know, been officially denied many times. This was covered up and classified for reverse engineering. And, you know, this is only one of several retrieval cases that followed, as, you know, Clifford Stone, he was on I forget the number, I think 20 or so, and I categorized 57 different species or so. I have to check on the number of retrievals that he was on. But, you know, 2 weeks right after that crash of July 8th and July 26th, the CIA was established. The military brought in its top scientists from major corporations for studying and reverse engineering these technologies. The technologies that were derived, you know, include free energy and anti-gravity, as well as a lot of other offshoots that were, you know, disseminated into the public sector. And, you know, there was a lot of on-Earth human, discoveries and things that were as well, but the ET technologies, reverse engineering them, kind of gave it a rocket boost, so to speak. And the turning point of all this was during the Eisenhower era, where 1960s, Eisenhower became aware he was taken out of the loop as a powerful military-industrial complex consortium of corporations and individuals that owned them, which were involved in this technology appropriation, utilized our national security apparatus, separated itself from our legal constitutional government, giving only its agents a, quote, need to know, and denying and outright lying to everyone else in our government that such projects do not exist, such as, you know, the unacknowledged special access projects.
Yeah.
And one of our witnesses, General Brigadier General Lovkin, was on Eisenhower's staff, worked with him at the Pentagon, and he gives a testimony of seeing part of the wreckage that came from the New Mexico crash, as well as talking about the bodies, some 3 to 5 bodies, some were alive, some were dead, and he talks about Eisenhower basically being sold out and taken out of the loop, and him acknowledging that it's now not going to be in the best of hands. And we have an audio clip from that. It's about 3.5 minutes long, if you'd like to play that.
Yeah, let's see. This is the Eisenhower clip, right?
Correct.
All right, here we go.
We annually spend on military.
Lovkin.
All right.
The
when you said Eisenhower, sorry. I thought we were going with that. This is General Lovkin, right? Okay,
correct.
This is the Lovkin clip.
We were in the basement of the Pentagon, and in those days, that was in 1959, there was a tremendous amount of security there in the basement of the Pentagon. Anybody who's worked there knows what I'm talking about. I learned a lot about Project Blue Book. Blue Book was discussed quite openly in the office. Sections of Blue Book were open for discussion. And then there were other matters as well that were brought to our attention one afternoon when we were just about ready to finish up training. It was about 3:30, maybe 3:45 in the afternoon. Colonel Hollabird brought out a piece of what appeared to be a metallic. It was a metallic piece of. Looked like a yardstick. It had encryption on it. He did it. Described them as being symbols of instruction, and that's as far as he would go. But he did infer that the instructions, whatever they might have been, were something that. That was important enough for the military to keep working on a constant basis. It seemed giant-like when I saw it because it was the first time I'd ever seen anything like this before, and all eyes were just peeled on that particular thing. And when he told us what it was, it was frightening. It was eerie there. You could have heard a pin drop in the room when it was first mentioned. He said it had been taken from one of the craft that had crashed in New Mexico, and that it had been taken from a box of materials that the military was working on. They didn't use the word reverse engineering at that time, but it was something similar to the reverse engineering that they felt like... they needed to work on, and it was going to take years to do this.
Well, that's pretty fantastic right there. We've got some more.
Yes. There were either three or five, and they didn't even know at that point, because some of the information that they had gotten apparently was incomplete. But three or five stands out in my mind as the number that were taken. One was alive, partially alive at the time that this happened, and I do not know what may have happened to him after that. What happened was Eisenhower got sold out. I think that he realized that all of a sudden this matter is going into the control of corporations. He realized that he was losing control. He realized that the phenomenon of whatever it was that we were faced with was not going to be in the best hands, and that those were the, as far as I can remember, that was the expression that was used. It's not going to be in the best hands, and so it has turned out to be.
Well, that is very compelling testimony, and that's from General Lovkin, right?
Yes, that was Brigadier General Lovkin, who was on Eisenhower's personal staff. And, you know, the purpose of that whole action was to maintain control of this technology. Wyatt got out of his hands and into not the best of hands was because they have vested energy interests in geopolitical control. As Eisenhower left his office, he warned that we must be vigilant to guard against the misplaced power of the military-industrial complex, as he knew, you know, it wasn't going to be in the best of hands. And I have about a one-minute clip out of the Eisenhower audio, which you can now play, and it talks about that.
Yeah, now this, let's put this in perspective. Eisenhower is toward the end of his presidency, right?
And he is, this is 1961.
Right. Well, okay, so he is out in 62, right? Kennedy.
It was 1961 that he gave his farewell address to the nation. It was the last time he addressed the American people as a U.S. president.
So this is him really, for the first time, really disclosing to the people his true feelings about how he's been taken out of the loop. So let's see what he says.
Yeah, it's only a brief excerpt from it.
More than the net income of all United States corporations. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
So this from a former military man who then becomes president, and he is not only from his lengthy and heroic military career, but also his political career, warning the free people of the world that a very powerful government, a very powerful military, can become its own force in government and something that we must be vigilant about protecting ourselves against.
Brian, you were speaking of this military-industrial complex, which could be misplaced powers and these black and acknowledged projects outside of our legal government's control, which, you know, have been taking in hundreds of billions of dollars unaccounted for, you know, over the years, developing these technologies while the world drives gasoline-powered vehicles and uses rockets for its limited space travel. It's kind of like, you know, this, we live in this, world that of what we agree upon in our scientific community of our level of technological accomplishment, but behind the scenes, they have things going on that you only see in science fiction movies.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about that, and we're going to go into this much more in the second hour of our program tonight, and we will open up the phone lines in the second hour, so don't go away. You can participate. Also, if you want to participate, you can go to AOL Instant Messenger and look up Vision Officer. That's how to get into and be able to send questions to Dan and myself tonight and participate. We've already had some questions come in. But we're going to cover this this extra-governmental organization in a lot more detail in the second hour. So don't go away. It's not that I'm trying to avoid the conspiracy of it, but I want to thoroughly vet the UFO aspect of this, that we are talking about extraplanetary technology that has come to our planet and has somehow fallen exclusively into the hands of this group. Somehow they have their agents out there, and as you heard General Lufkin talking, he saw a piece of metal from that crash, and he said it left him with an eerie feeling. This is a general who has risen to presidential staff level, and he is feeling eerie about a piece of metal. Where is that piece of metal now? Do you have any idea, Dan, where that piece of metal is?
Yeah, I have it in my back closet. No, just kidding. I have no idea. But, you know, this whole structure of you know, they have a lot of names, you know, what, Illuminati, cabals, government, black ops, you know, I'd like to be able to settle on one name, but I guess we'll just call it a secret government, has operatives, you know, in key positions in every branch of the military intelligence community. And, you know, carefully oversees this whole UFO topic is denied and discredited through a network of executive operatives in the media. And, you know, there's a document that Daniel Sheehan, our legal counsel, one of the witnesses who testified that, you know, Carter tried to get information from George Bush Sr., who was the DCI at the time, you know, Director of Central Intelligence, and denied him access, you know, a president. But we've got proof that at least two presidential administrations were denied access. And this is done because if the public and our legal government officials were ever to find out the truth about ET contact and technologies that could have avoided needless wars and untold lives lost over oil, which feeds profits to both military-industrial complex and the oil cartels, with its ill effects on environmental damage that could have been avoided by the use of these suppressed technologies, there would be such a public upheaval that they'd have to, you know, continue in secrecy as people in wars, rising oil prices, continuing destruction of our planet is all based on these lies. And there's an interesting remark by George Bush Sr. to Sarah McLennan, the famed White House reporter who sponsored, by the way, the Disclosure Project at the National Press Club. This quote, "Yeah, Sarah, if people find out what we've done, they'll chase us down the street and lynch us," unquote. And this is taken out of a movie, UFO, The Greatest Story Ever Denied, by my friend Jose Escamilla, which is the UFOMovie.com, if anybody wants to check it out.
Yeah, great film.
Comment.
I've watched it, and
I for Jose, it was shameless.
Oh, that's good. I've met him. I've watched the film. He is definitely one of the leading UFO photographers in the world. But, you know, you talked about the public kind of going nuts. It is true that no amount of operatives are going to be able to hold back a mass of people who are saying, look, we're sick and tired of paying $4 a gallon for gasoline and dirty air. It's kind of self-imposed, accepted level of technological retardation. You know, we as a people are somehow happy with filling up our vehicles at $50 or $60 or $80 a tank full and driving a few miles to work and back. Evidently, it's not hurting enough yet. Well, yeah, I mean, it is based on lies, but the people, according to the press, have a right to know. And it's kind of interesting. You watch these news agencies compete with cable news, and they're all the time talking about ratings a few points this way or that way determine on, you know, whether the stockholder or shareholders are making money or whether a station's going to stay in business or not. Do they realize that the organization that breaks this story in a meaningful way will scoop all of the market share? They should all be going after it with everything they've got.
Yeah, that's the next good point we need to go into. You know, I'd like to share with you, you know, after we did the National Press Club, I met with 24 senators and congresspeople up and down Capitol Hill. And, you know, I was, with me was, Captain Salas, who, you know, we had 16, nuclear tipped missiles that, the guards were screaming out in the front, on the intercom, with their weapons drawn. A glowing UFO, a big red one, was outside the front gate, and all 16 of his ICBMs got shut down in rapid succession, and then went 60 miles away and then shut down another place. And he was there with me, and he had all the official Air Force special investigation documentation to back it up. And so was Dr. Carol Rosen, who worked with Wernher von Braun in his last days of his life, and he was a whistleblower on knowing the inside plans of the secret government, which we'll get into later. But in one meeting, I sat down with both of them, and I think an Oregon representative. I said to them, you know, look, what we're saying is a lie. We've just been on every single major media, and we're perpetrating a hoax. If we're doing such a thing, then we really need to be punished, you know, and that... all we're asking is that you just look into the validity of this. And, you know, everybody, you know, was cordial, politeness, and but nobody in their right mind wants to touch it. After we did that, I set up an online fax for people to fax representatives, you know, both the president and the representatives and world leaders across, you know, across the world on different embassies, and about 30,000 faxes gone out, you know, because people just don't have the time to write a letter. And, you know, it became clear, I had people send me back the responses that they were getting from their representatives, and I'd post them up on the website so everybody could see. I'd scan the whole letter that they sent, and I got letters from the president and the vice president and all the representatives, about 75 of them. And I started to notice there was a definite pattern.
A form letter.
most of them are, we'll keep the views and minds of extraterrestrial hearings ever, you know, come before the floor or nothing like that. But there was a definite pattern where they would, several of them would quote certain things, you know, official documents from NASA denying it. So they're all very well indoctrinated by this group speculating that they perceive the subject in a certain light, even though, you know, some of them that have seen the actual press club and things, they know there's something going on, but I don't...
Well, here's the thing about politics. Here's the thing about politics and politicians. They will pay attention as long as the battery lights last on the cameras. And I guess they saw the National Press Club thing, and then they waited to see if there would be, you know, a million-man march on Washington for disclosure, but it never came. And so these senators and congressmen had no desire to touch the truth because it had nothing to do with them getting reelected. And that's the part of the problem.
That's right, Brooks.
You have elected...
Right. You know, and the day of the disclosure, out in Parliament in the UK, they were picketing. Nobody was picketing out in front of the White House, or, but in front of Parliament, they have signs saying, you know, expose the secret government, release the extraterrestrial technologies. So the British people took a lot more active response than the American people.
Well,
in fact, you know what I'd like to do if we could? I'd like to have everyone hear what the opening speech was of Dr. Greer at the National Club. And it's about 8 minutes long, but it covers the whole gamut of what the whole press club was about. And for those who have not seen the press club, it will give you a brief overview.
And that is exactly what we're going to do right after we take the break. We will take about a 6-minute break right here. This is where we run all our commercials at the top of the hour so people can listen to a whole hour without being interrupted. And then at the beginning of the second hour, we will start the Dr. Greer testimony. And you need to fasten your seatbelts because this is really dynamite. You're going to wonder why in the world we haven't gone anywhere from here. But fasten your seatbelts because we're getting ready for hour number two with X Squared Radio. We'll be back with my guest is Dan Willis, a UFO witness testifier at the National Press Club, and he's with us tonight on X Squared Radio. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. We'll be back. You have joined me, because today is my birthday, and I can't think of a better way to celebrate it than to be on the air with Dan Willis, because this subject, I wish I had 5 hours to talk about it. It is completely fascinating to me. All right, we promised you that we're going to put on the Stephen Greer clip from the National Press Club Disclosure Project event. Yes.
Oh, I was just going to say, this is my area of special interest, because, you know, I used to be an ABC newsman a long time ago. And
I didn't know that.
So I took a keen interest in how the media is covering it. And I just wanted to make a comment before you let it roll.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That I'd like to make note to everybody to listen to what Dr. Greer is saying at this opening speech, and imagine yourself as being a news reporter that needs to cover the story. And there's a couple of things that he's going to talk about. One, he'll talk about our legal government being denied access, even two presidential administrations. He'll be talking about unacknowledged $80 billion a year going into black rogue projects. Also, he'll talk about how these black operations are targeting these off-planet cultures, shooting them down and retrieving them. He'll be talking about how they shut down our nuclear weapons, but it's very important to note that they do not show hostility to us, but merely render our nuclear weapons inert. And they've had for over 50 years technology solutions to energy and environmental crisis hidden from the general public. You'll hear all this. And then we'll go on to how they covered the story.
Well, this is going to be awesome. Yeah, we'll go on to cover how the press is keeping us free in this country. Here we go. This is Dr. Greer at the National Press Club briefing.
Members of the press, the American public, and people of the world. We are here today to disclose the truth about a subject that has been ridiculed and questioned, denied for at least 50 years. The men and women who are on this stage and the some 350 additional military intelligence witnesses to the so-called UFO matter and extraterrestrial intelligence can prove and will prove that we are not alone. I would like to thank Sarah McClendon, who is with us today, the famed White House correspondent, for her sponsorship of this meeting. Thank you very much, Sarah. In 1993, a group of military advisors to this project and I met out in the countryside in Virginia. And we decided that it was time for civilians, military, intelligence, and other people to come together to disclose the truth about the subject, which is called UFOs. Since that time, I have personally briefed a sitting director of Central Intelligence, James Woolsey, President Clinton's first CI director. I have personally briefed the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, the head of Intelligence Joint Staff, members of the Senate Intelligence Committee, many members of Congress, members of the European leadership, the Japanese cabinet, and others. And what I have found is that none of them are surprised that this is true, but they are uniformly horrified that they have not had access to these projects. We can establish through these witnesses whom we have identified, which now number over 400, and these are people who have been inside the CIA, NSA, NRO, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Army, all divisions of the intelligence and military community, as well as corporate witnesses, contractors to the government. And these are folks who have been involved in so-called black budget or covert unacknowledged projects. These unacknowledged special access projects are taking in at least $40 to $80 billion per year. And they are sitting on technologies that can change the world forever. The reason we are coming forward now is that we are asking for the U.S. Congress and for President Bush to move towards an official inquiry and disclosure on this subject. It has the most profound implications for the human future, for the U.S. national security, and for world peace. Specifically, technologies connected to UFO and extraterrestrial vehicles, if declassified and used for peaceful energy generation and propulsion, would solve the looming energy crisis definitively, would end global warming, would correct the environmental challenges that the Earth is facing. It is also critical that we begin to debate as a society the propriety of placing weapons in space. If indeed, as we can prove, it is true that we are not alone and that space is territory which we are sharing with other civilizations, it could be a very imprudent, destabilizing thing to place weapons in space. This is not being debated because it is off the national and international radar screens. It needs to be placed on it, and we are here today to do it. We can establish through this testimony that these objects of extraterrestrial origin have been tracked on radar going thousands of miles per hour, stopping and making right-hand turns, that they use anti-gravity propulsion systems, which we have already figured out how they work in classified projects in the United States, Great Britain, and elsewhere, that these objects have landed on terra firma, at times have been disabled, and have been retrieved specifically by teams within the United States, that extraterrestrial life forms have been retrieved, and their vehicles have been taken and studied thoroughly for at least 50 years. We can prove through the testimony and documents that we will be presenting that this subject has been hidden from members of Congress and at least two administrations that we are aware of, presidential administrations, and that the Constitution of the United States has been subverted by the growing power of these classified projects, and that this is a danger to the national security. There is no evidence, I wish to emphasize, that these life forms from elsewhere are hostile towards us. But there is a great deal of evidence that they are concerned with our hostility. There are times when they have neutralized or rendered inert the launch capabilities of intercontinental ballistic missiles. Witnesses here today will describe those events to you. They have shown clearly that they do not want us to weaponize space, and yet we are proceeding down that dangerous path. And it will be established that these projects, because they have not been supervised properly by the Congress, by the U.S. President, by the international community, have become a threat to the national security. And for this reason, we feel we must disclose the facts. This is the beginning of the campaign for disclosure. And in a memo that I wrote to President Bush last week, I stated that this campaign will persist until our goals are met, and they are as follows. That we have open, honest hearings on the subject in the U.S. Congress. That there be a permanent ban on the weaponization of space or the targeting of any objects of extraterrestrial origin. That there be a full and complete study of classified technologies connected to this subject to see how they could be properly declassified and applied for peaceful energy generation so that the world may get off of fossil fuels in enough time to prevent greater ecosystem damage or war over the looming energy crisis, which is sure to sweep the earth in the coming decade. This is a matter of the most pressing import. It has been ridiculed, yes. I know many in the media would like to talk about little green men. But in reality, the subject is laughed at because it is so serious. I have had grown men weep who are in the Pentagon, who are members of Congress, and who have said to me, what are we going to do? Here's what we will do. We will see that this matter is properly disclosed, and these courageous witnesses, the first 21 of over 100 that we have already interviewed on videotape, have stepped forward to speak the truth. Now, I expect people to be skeptical, but not irrationally so, because these men and women have come forward and they have their credentials, they can establish who they are, and they have been firsthand witnesses to some of the most important events in the history of the human race. As was pointed out to me by some of the men here, they were charged with handling the nuclear weapons of the United States. Their word was trusted on everything of great importance for the national security. We must trust their word now.
Well, there you have it. That is the testimony, the opening shot over the bow, as it were, by Dr. Stephen Greer, opening the Disclosure Project event that occurred in May of 2001, and I should add that gas was about $1.36 a gallon back then, and now we're looking at $3.36 a gallon. So the energy crisis that he predicted in this opening statement in 2001 has come to pass, and we haven't even gone a decade yet. Now, I have a question, Dan. How is this, and I'm going to assume it's an extra-governmental organization, if it spans the U.S., Great Britain, and other sovereignties, how are they able to extract these billions of dollars from multiple governments and employ hundreds of thousands of people without being exposed? Dan, are you there?
Can you hear me okay? Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I had it on mute, so I wouldn't.
That's all right. Now I can hear you.
Okay. We have witnesses that are in some of the corporations like SAIC and you know, whatever, all the different consortiums that have been involved in some of the bookkeeping on some of the stuff that have given testimony of. You know, and nowadays, you know, there's, you know, what, 1.3 billion missing. It's not hard to imagine if that level of money is missing, just how much goes unaccounted for. You know, I'd like the listeners to, as they heard that 8 minutes of the opening speech of the National Press Club, to wear the hat of a news reporter, and that it's your job to report this to the public. And, you know, and there he was talking about having to talk to a CIA director who was denied access and frustrated, and that's how, you know, Dr. Greer got involved. You know, you have to have to give Dr. Greer an amazing amount of credit for, if he hasn't done what he has done, there would be no, we would continue on the path we're going now without any clue whatsoever because of the way the media covers it. You know, and he's talking about presidents being denied, you know, being targeted, shutting down our nuclear weapons, talking about technology that we have. You know, I'd like for the listeners to imagine themselves being a news reporter and having what notes you would take down of that whole press conference that you would report to the public and just wear that hat for a little bit.
Well, I know if I was a young journalist and I had been assigned to go to this this event. Now Sarah McClendon, of course, is world class. I mean, she is the White House press queen, as it were. But I think mostly it was the junior reporter that was sent to this event because they really expected to see people with it wearing antennas and things like this popping out of their head. I don't think they were ready for this. But if I was a young reporter sitting in that audience, I would be making notes like, holy cow, you know, I could be the next Walter Cronkite if I can crack this open. I would think that it would absolutely light up the imagination of every young reporter in that group. I think their palms were just sweating, trying to figure out how they were going to schedule in all these witnesses for their first Pulitzer Prize winning piece.
Exactly. You know, what I'd like to do is have the witnesses take off that reporter hat and all of a sudden become the average Joe TV watcher. Sit back on your couch, grab your Cheetos, and listen to the 1.5 minute CNN headline news coverage of the event, which blipped on and blipped off, and was the last you heard of it.
Now, this was the CNN report on the National Press Club event, right?
Correct.
Okay, and now, this occurred...
When you're listening to this, when you're listening to this, get the message that they're saying and erase everything you've just heard in your mind from the actual press club and pretend you're just the average listener and it just happened to have a little news blip and what your perception's going to be.
Well, I know most of my listeners think that, you know, they're the only ones that understand what point you're trying to make and how important this is, and that everyone else they're walking around down at Kroger's and Walmart are just pod people. They don't care in a daze. They could care less. They don't understand how this is going to affect their lives. But let's just hear what CNN
exactly
had to say about the event. Here we go. This is a CNN clip.
Life on other planets? Some former military and government personnel say they have proof there is. Elaine Quijano explains.
These are slides of UFOs.
We've seen the photographs and heard the stories of what some say is evidence of UFOs. Now a group of scientists, former Air Force and FAA officials, is lending its voice to the argument that we are not alone. Dr. Stephen Greer heads up the Disclosure Project, a group that compiles information from people who say they've encountered extraterrestrial forms of life.
We can establish through this testimony that these objects of extraterrestrial origin have been tracked on radar going thousands of miles per hour, stopping and making right-hand turns.
Since 1993, Dr. Greer says he has videotaped testimony from more than 100 people about what they say are close encounters. People like retired Navy Commander Pilot Graham Bethune, who believes he saw a UFO 50 years ago while flying to Newfoundland.
Then it appeared over to the right and moved out slowly and flew with us. It was still not at our altitude, but we could see the shape of it. It had a dome.
In addition, the Disclosure Project says it has documents supporting its case, including FAA records and CIA memos.
What do members plan to do with their information? They hope Congress and President Bush take notice.
They want to see congressional hearings into the matter, despite criticism from skeptics.
Those that don't want to believe you will never believe you anyway, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the truth.
A spokesperson for the Senate Science, Technology, and Space Committee says no congressional hearings are planned right now. Elaine Quijano, CNN.
Well, there you have it. You know, the battery lights just didn't quite last long enough to get Congress around to thinking, gee, this might have something to do with me getting reelected next time.
Well, all of our listeners that are now in the TV listener mode, I think the perception, I believe, and tell me if you agree as well, that there was a UFO group made up of scientists and ex-government officials that want you to know that we are not alone and that we want to have congressional hearings solely on establishing that UFOs are real. Would you say that's probably pretty accurate?
I would say that that's what happened, and in my opinion, they emasculated the report because they didn't reveal that the technology that could be revealed by these hearings could solve our energy crisis and even establish world peace.
You know, after CNN did this, you know, CBS sent a special assignment team down from Los Angeles to interview me. And I said, I'm only willing to do this interview if they promise that they don't cut out, that I make the statement that, quote, we have the scientists willing to come forth in an open congressional hearing to prove that we have the technology that can end the energy and environmental crisis, unquote. And they promised me, they came down, the whole camera crew, they interviewed me for about 45 minutes. After it aired, she promised me, the reporter and everything, she was in tears on the phone with me and says, you know, I'm sorry I couldn't do it. The higher executives made me change it. And what they did was exactly use the same template that CNN did. And you notice everything that Dr. Greer is talking about. It, as he's talking, he's saying in the one part where he says, and we've tracked on radar these objects going thousands of miles per hour and stopping and making right-hand turns, you know, cut. And right after that, he says, and we have, you know, basically reverse engineer these technologies, and we have this technology available, is what he's saying afterward. And that part gets cut out. So essentially they use the same exact format, and if you'd like to play the CBS, you can hear exactly what CBS did following CNN.
Oh, so is this CBS's interview of you?
Yes, CBS did a special interview of me, and 45 minutes, I basically said I was taking messages from ships reporting extraterrestrials coming out of the water going into space, and then I said, we've reached a critical time where the truth needs to be revealed to the people. But the truth that I was trying to reveal to the people, she said the higher executives made me cut out everything having to do with, you know, energy technology. So,
Interesting.
She couldn't keep her promise on that.
All right, here we go. This is the CBS clip, and we'll run it right now.
We are not alone. That's the message a group of pilots, scientists, and former government officials want Congress to hear. Ken Shotnick shows us tonight what some people are calling a UFO cover-up.
I've never seen it. Look at that.
I don't know, but I got it on tape.
A strand of moving light in the sky over Phoenix. A bright glowing streak dashing through West Covina. What looks like a flying saucer tracked on radar over Mexico City. Are these UFOs caught on tape? Dan Wills is a former radio operator for the Navy.
I took personally communications from ships that were reporting the extraterrestrial craft emerging out of the ocean and shooting off in space.
He's among a group of scientists, military, and former FAA officials calling for congressional hearings to establish the presence of UFOs and extraterrestrials. 21 members of that group already have testified in Washington for what's known as the Disclosure Project. Dr. Stephen Greer is the director of the Disclosure Project. He's gathered 400 witnesses who say it's time for government secrecy to end.
We can establish through this testimony that these objects of extraterrestrial origin have been tracked on radar going thousands of miles per hour.
It's come to a critical point where the truth needs to be revealed to the people.
They believe a congressional hearing is the only way to set the record straight.
The Disclosure Project has its work cut out for it because as of right now, no congressional hearings are planned. For CBS 2 News Special Assignment, I'm Ken.
Yeah, and so the work that's cut out for the Disclosure Project is trying to make politicians realize that what the people really want to know is what's going on behind bureaucratic door number 3. And that's not...
Well, what they're saying is that this group is just basically wanting to say we are not alone and that the reality of UFOs is enough to warrant to waste the government's time essentially on having a congressional hearing, where the other topics that you heard at the National Press Club were very effectively edited out to only give the perception that this group is only wanting to have a congressional hearing to the reality of UFOs. Now, if the listeners put on their PSYOPs think tank hats, in other words, if you had to take that whole press club that you heard earlier and you only wanted to get one message out, and that message was that people are saying UFOs are real, that effectively is what both, you know, CNN and CBS was conveying to the populace.
Well, yeah.
We have a document.
I was going to say, you know, France, Belgium, Mexico, and other governments, they've already established that there are such things as UFOs. And if they haven't done a really good job, certainly sci-fi has done a good job to inebriate us to the fact. So why are we spending our tax dollars, why are we sending tax money to Washington to support the NSA? The NSA doesn't appear to know this. It sounds like they're pretty incompetent out there. If all these other governments know it and the general public know it and the National Security Administration doesn't know it, why do we need them?
Well, that's a point that needs to be looked at, in that our NSA, our CIA, our government, our officials, our military, intelligence community, all are good guys, actually. There is operations operating within those operations that are illegal and rogue. And, you know, we have a CIA document that's on the disclosureproject.org website, anybody can look at, that is back in 1991, that essentially states that we have, back in 91, established relationships with every single major media to effectively, under the guise of national security, spin or change stories or even kill stories that affect the national security. And Daniel Sheehan, you know, has that list of 42 CIA NSA operatives that are in top major media executive positions whose sole purpose is to oversee anything that would affect national security. Now, national security is the instrument that the black covert operations use to affect change to their interests, because if you're familiar, you've been in the military, Brooks, you know how security works on a need-to-know, very compartmented basis. You can have somebody right next to you, and they have no idea what you're doing, and you have no idea what they're doing, and you can be part of an operation that you don't have a need-to-know, but you're carrying out orders that you don't know where they come from, but you're, you know, basically a military soldier, man. You're carrying out what you're told to do.
Yeah, well, here's what I do know. I mean, I was in the Air Force, just a regular NCO, and stationed at a missile command base. And I can tell you that if a UFO came over our base and effectively shut down nuclear missiles that were at the ready, we would consider that a clear and present danger. It doesn't take someone to order me to realize that. I would think that our military would be embarrassed, and I would think that our president would hide his face in shame as one who is committed to upholding the Constitution of the United States of America, and yet here is a multi-billion dollar rogue organization operating inside our country, using our government agencies and our courtrooms to seize and withhold technology from our own people that has something to do with this presence that's flying with impunity over our military bases. Something does not compute here.
Exactly. The movie doesn't match the subtitles, and I think everybody out there feels that. There's things that, you know, aren't, you know, being told straight. And, you know, a lot of that has to do, I guess you can liken it akin to say, an illegal crime organization that, you know, if one of its members were to try to go to the police, he'd end up, you know, with cement galoshes, you know. There's people that are inside these black operations that know these are not right. They want to get out, but they can't get out. They want to see this whole thing turn around. And, you know, this has been Dr. Greer, that these operations, you know, continue to perpetuate themselves because no one can gain access to them.
Well, this is what it boils down to. I mean, we're grateful to Dr. Greer for his personal sacrifice and his integrity for coming out and you know, it takes a monumental effort to pull the witnesses together and an even more monumental effort to get a room in Washington and an organization like C-SPAN to give you the airtime to run such an event. So I commend him for that. But it appears what is needed here, since you're talking about organized crime, and I can't think of anything that fits the subject better, because if it's an illegal and rogue organization, why aren't the CIA and the NSA and other agencies exposing them if they're committed to justice? Maybe we need an Elliot Ness to step forward and start cutting the locks off of these doors and opening up these warehouses and showing us some of this technology that's sitting there. We have about 300 million people in this country that would just dearly love to stop having to put gasoline in our cars. That technology's there, and we want it.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, it's you think about, you know, the children that are going to inherit what we have with this earth, with the amount of the continuing environmental damage. And you know, when you think about it, if this did get disclosed, and you know, it's difficult because of the way it's compartmented, in a way where presidents get denied access. You could have the highest security clearance possible, and if you're not on the list of an unacknowledged special access project, you're going to be lied to that it doesn't exist. And so their strength is secrecy. The people's strength is disclosure, you know, putting a million watt spotlight on this whole thing. And that's what I'm grateful to you, Brooks, for letting me be on the show to, you know, I'm just one of many witnesses, but I'd like to be able to set that seed out there, the people to, you know, go and research for yourself, find out that this is true. And it's based on the testimonies of hundreds of witnesses. If they go to the Disclosure Project, DisclosureProject.org, and research for yourself. There's no motivation. There's no money. In fact, a lot of people have had their lives threatened not to come forward. They've had their careers ruined trying to come forward with this. There's so many people who want to have this disclosed. But with the media not giving the full story, with the representatives being indoctrinated the way they are, it's like a vicious catch-22 where, you know, if they were to disclose free energy technology where, you know, your house would run on a little box and your car would run for free, probably don't even need wheels, you know, you have the anti-gravity, you can have these technologies. And if we lived in a peaceful civilization, and we stop these wars over oil that keep feeding the war machine of the industrial military complex, which has to keep building more weapons and more wars and more false flag events. If we and we were able to evolve to a peaceful, mature civilization, these off-planet cultures may just want to start interacting with us, and the implications of what could happen in that type of exchange. I mean, sure, there'll be some updating with all the different religious philosophies, but, you know, there's no religion higher than truth. And you know, life on this earth could be improved if we can get out of this bad loop that has unintentionally been created back in the 40s, and now it's like its own little Frankenstein monster broken off its table. It's running off on its own, and nobody can control it.
Well, I have some IMers who are sending me some questions to ask. One is, he's asking if some of the Disclosure Project witnesses have been actually threatened.
Since before the National Press Club, there was death threats, and many of the witnesses had had their lives threatened. After the National Press Club occurred, there has not been, to my knowledge, any threats.
All right, and the next question is, if we are actually the highest technology on or off this planet that humans are involved with, is it, if it's being managed by a rogue group, call it a cabal, call it a secret organization, it's got to be multinational, because no one nation has exclusive contact with off-worlders. So this rogue force must infiltrate all major governments in the world, even the Russians. So that means that our senators and congressmen and president are all for show and only control about 25% of the budget, and really none of the technological impact. It is all being run by this rogue organization. So my question is, what good is running a world that's going to be nothing but smoke and dead bodies if we don't turn around?
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, we, as Dr. Greer has said many times, we don't change direction or as the Chinese end up where we're headed. And where we're headed looks like, you know, further erosion of our freedoms, further gas prices going up, further control of the media. I mean, I'm grateful we're able to speak on this network or internet radio network to be able to get this information out, because there may be a time, if nothing is done, that this privilege will be taken away.
Well, that's true. So while we're now still free radio, I'm going to go ahead and give out the phone numbers. Those of you that are regulars at PBS Radio or X Squared Radio, you know these numbers. If you're just listening, here are the phone numbers. You can call in live, toll-free, anywhere in the U.S., 877-876-5227. Or you can call in anywhere on the planet, and most people have free long distance anyway, and it's only a two-minute phone call. So call in, ask your question, and let's see if we can affect the universe. That number is 530-876-3222. On planet or off planet, if you can get to a tower, you can reach us and ask a question of Dan Willis. We are talking about a subject which, if you've made a trip to your local gas pump lately, I gassed up three times this weekend because I had some things to move over to Louisville. I've spent $150 in gasoline this weekend, and I don't like it. I don't like it one bit, especially since I know for a personal fact that the technology exists to stop doing that. We do not have to shovel our planet into our gas tanks and burn it any longer. The technology is there. What we have to do is get the organizations that control the capital to let it loose so that we can bring this technology to your local Lowe's and Home Depot and your automotive builder, so that we can reverse this trend.
Yeah, Brooks, I'd like to add on the media control a little bit of firsthand personal experience I have.
Sure.
After CNN, CBS, and everybody else covered the event, it was frustrated because the media wasn't getting the full story. So Dr. Greer decided to tour across the United States. I toured with him all major U.S. cities in the West and Western United States: Colorado, San Diego, L.A., San Francisco, Portland, Eugene, Ashland. And I was there every time they did a major networks would come in on television and, cover the event. And without exception, when I would say something, I would say, our legal government has been infiltrated by a little thing, and they would cut me out every single time, of course. But in San Diego, they had, dancing alien dolls, going on. In San Francisco, they were saying, the Disclosure Project is looking to aliens to solve the world's energy problems. And in Portland, the newscaster, after they finished covering it, they said, they were kind of laughing under their breath, UFOs and energy, come on, let's get to the big story. Let's meet the Broncos, meet the Bozos in the playoff, they go on like that. So every single, without exception, television news coverage put a little spin, or as they say, giggle factor, to make sure that this was looking like a kind of the UFO Looney Tunes trying to say UFOs are real.
Well, yeah. We, on this program, and listeners and people that I meet when I go around to the different conferences and speak and lecture and just meet the average people, what they are really looking for, what they're really feeling, and what they really hoped would happen after the Disclosure Project is an event which I guess collectively they call Global First Contact, that some greater intelligence of peaceful, unassaultable technology would come forth and say, enough, no more launching missiles at each other, okay? There is enough of this. Here is the technology you need, and that we have disclosed to your governments time and time again over the last 50 years, but they refuse to share it with you. So here it is.
I'm hoping, almost like in the movie V, that all the people, once say, we know and have proof of what you're doing, and the lies are no longer effective, and a change must happen now.
Well, most of the reporters that I know, one of the things that keeps us free in this country is our press. The ability to write an article that discredits the president without being hauled off to jail for treason. That is what keeps this nation free. And most of the reporters that I know, and I live in a small town in western Kentucky, they are free spirits, they're great writers, they're independent thinkers, and every single one of them, to a man, is hungry. And this is the kind of story that would give them the fame, the notoriety, and maybe even the income that they seek. So I don't really think that all the reporters have been, brought into a room before they're given their press license. By the way, we will not talk about UFO technology unless you're just talking about little green men. We need...
That's why the reporter was in tears when she said, I'm sorry, I never had this happen before. The higher executives made me cut this out.
Well, then we need those reporters to bring us the clip. Bring us the story here at X Squared Radio, and we will break it to the world. This is the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. I mean, our growth rate is 50% a quarter. And at times we reach 12 million people a week and growing. And this is all over the world. People listen to this program because we don't pull any punches. We're positive about it. We're not conspiracy freaks. We don't talk about, taking over the world. But we are a people of great curiosity, and we are truth seekers. And if the technology is out there, and I won't even say if, the technology is out there, we deserve it. And no entity on this planet has the right to withhold technology that would free us from spending clearly 20 to 25% of our income on energy, which is completely ridiculous. Energy is free and overflowing. Go ahead.
And I'd like to say it again, because it's wonderful to be able to have a free speech on your radio show, that we do have the scientists willing to come forth to prove that we have these technologies to end the energy and environmental crisis. And what they're doing is they can't come out unless they are relieved of their national security oaths. These people are having their lives threatened if they do such a thing. They are wanting to come out and wanting to have a congressional hearing. But so long as the media does not get the message to the people and our legal government is falsely indoctrinated, they have to remain in those secret black projects and can't come out and disclose it to the world that we have these technologies. So without this disclosure, they have to maintain their silence.
Well, if we have the technology and we have built these ships and we're flying them around, these large black triangles, or as Dr. Greer alluded to, that we have built and do fly aircraft that can make left-hand turns at 10,000 miles an hour, he told me that directly, face-to-face.
That's a good point you're bringing up.
I want to know...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I want to know, if we have this technology, we've built these craft, we're flying them, A, where are we parking them? And B, since this is a multi-governmental rogue agency that's building and governing this technology, when two nations go to war, who gets the technology to fight with? Who wins?
Well, keep in mind, there's two different worlds going on here. There's the black ops world where, there's things and technology that are in the realm of science fiction that people, say, no way they can have things like that. We have one witness that had a colleague that witnessed the crafts hovering that were what's called alien reproduction vehicles. And it's interesting, when you think about the media, how they've edited so that the only message that comes out is that we're not alone. Wernher von Braun, who was on the inside of the secret government, was clued in on what their false flag events would be in the future to build a multi-trillion weapon system in space. And he would say first would be the Soviets, and then there'd be rogue nations, and then we'd have to build a weapon system in space to fight terrorists. This was a long time ago. And then he spoke of meteorites, and he would say to her over and over again, and this is on his deathbed, on his last years of his life, and he would say to her over and over again, remember, Carol, the final card is the alien card, and we're going to have to build a multi-trillion weapon system in space to fight aliens. But it is all a lie. And, when you think about it, all the movies that are out there, Independence Day, the movie Signs, which is a ridiculous movie, with the the crop circles are much more beautiful, and War of the Worlds, and on, all the evil aliens wanting to come and take over our planet and kill us all, that we've been indoctrinated through in our subconscious, through Hollywood. There's a lot of fear factor, but the rational mind has to consider that we've only had technology in a very short span of Earth's history, and they've been here for a long time. And if that was their agenda, like in the movies, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, that's true. So we must be important, at least some of us, and we're involved. We're part of a community which spans beyond the bounds of our atmosphere, or maybe beyond the crust of our Earth. There may be other areas on the Earth where intelligent life exists. You said that this ship reported a craft coming up out of the sea off the coast of Alaska and taking off up into space. Now, that craft was either sitting on the bottom of the ocean under about 4,000 feet of water, or it was below that, inside our Earth. Yeah,
apparently they have no problem, since they traverse the vastness of space, to going under our oceans. What an ideal place to have a little way stop on planet Earth, but that isn't, being visited by the human culture that's on the planet, then you know, you and I are both speculating that, yeah, it's possible they could have bases under our ocean.
Well, you were talking about the technology that that they could not disclose, that they're under some kind of a contract of secrecy. It seems to me about 6 months ago I was listening to a report from Sandia Labs, and they were conducting an experiment with an engine they call a dimensional motor. And they said if this engine works, it will cut the travel time to Mars to 3 hours, and the travel time to the nearest star system to 8 days. Now, that puts things in perspective if they're talking about a dimensional motor. I haven't heard any press from that group since then, but I do know that Sandia Labs actively participates in technology transfer to private companies who want to take that technology and put it into manufacturing. So some of this science fiction stuff has been alluded to, but is there any way we can get these government scientists, these bureaucrats, or people that are actually working on the projects, who I also know by personal experience, pick crumbs with the sparrows, they could come out and at least testify that the technology exists without having to disclose the blueprints or the math or the theory behind it, but that we now have technology that's superluminal, or we now have technology that allows us to create a unified field and make a left-hand turn at 10,000 miles an hour. We now have technology that can convert Earth magnetism directly into electricity. Why can't they make that kind of disclosure?
Well, you know, our technology, we're like a bunch of monkeys with sticks and stones compared to the technology that, you know, these advanced races are using. But, you know, I've had some firsthand interaction with scientists that have had National Security Act slapped on them. There's been a lot of Earth discoveries of over-unity energy over the years, and this has been shut down. The history has been people who come out of these projects, if something horrible doesn't happen to them, to their lives or their family, they will be ridiculed and discredited through these means that they essentially keep an eye on the major media. You know, once in a while you see something, you'll see, you ever notice, like sometimes you'll see like a little blip will come on the news and something, wow, this is great. We're going to have free energy. We don't have to use gas anymore, you know? And then that's the last you see of it.
Yeah, I went to...
It just doesn't make it all the way to the point where it's getting into mass production for the entire populace of the planet. It gets nipped in the bud because you're going up against a multi-dollar energy consortium of oil and coal and, you know, ionizing radiation.
Oh, you mean you mean the energy community that's out of refining space and couldn't make another drop of gasoline if they had another $1 trillion to spend because we just don't have enough refining space? You mean that energy community? The one that's got a finite supply and charges more and more and more for it, and yet energy demands are going up and up and up. I think that there's...
That's the one, Brooks.
I think there's enough room to spare, and I really have to bite my lip here because my friends down at Phoenix Science Foundation are working on just exactly that same thing, building manufacturing to bring some of this technology to market. And the problem has been access to capital. They're just... they've got the expertise, they've got the engineers, they've got 30 years of experience manufacturing stuff, but can't seem to find the capital to put the simplest technology out the back door and put it in Lowe's and Home Depot. Anyway, we're at the top of the next hour. I told you this 3 hours would go fast. We have one more hour left. One more hour left, and we want to take your phone call, so make sure that you write down your question, call it in. We're going to stack them up and try to answer them all. I've got these IMs coming in one after the other, and I've been really faithful, guys, in asking these questions, so keep them coming. We're going to take a break, and we will be back. Our guest is Dan Willis. This is X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. We're pulling no punches here. So we'll be back in about 6 minutes with more of X Squared Radio. Welcome back to X Squared Radio. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew, coming to you from deep beneath the earth in western Kentucky. And we're having a lot of fun tonight. My guest tonight is Dan Willis. He is one of the witnesses to the UFO technology. He, in 1969, had an experience as a code operator for the U.S. Navy. And that sort of put him in a unique and special community, which Stephen Greer gathered up and organized what I think is probably one of the purest and bravest efforts at letting the American people, letting the world know of higher technology and access and even association with off-world races that's ever been done in history. And I commend him for that, and I commend Daniel for being part of that. Dan, do you have any books or DVDs or a website that you'd like to talk about?
Well, everything can be found on disclosureproject.org. And there's DVDs, there's all the witness testimonies. You know, I highly recommend if listeners out there feel there's some truth in what's being said and what I'm sharing is important, to examine, you know, the witness testimonies, the hundreds of testimonies at the DisclosureProject.org website, and determine whether or not, you know, with official documentation, if they're all lying or not. Invite debunkers and everybody else that questions the validity of this to look at all the witness testimony, because, well, I have, my piece is just a little small sliver of a huge picture that's painted by all the witness testimonies. When you put them all together, it starts to form a picture, and you start to see how this rogue, illegal secret government came into being and how it's operating. And if we continue on this path, and if everybody remains silent, our legal government reps won't know anything, and they need to hear the people. And I would recommend that you use the free online facts that I created on the website, the DisclosureProject.org website. But it's highly important that there's a template letter there that highlights the issue. But if you use the online facts to, once you educate yourself on this whole matter, use your own words. Use the first paragraph, because when they when the representatives, you know, the president, vice president, and senators and congresspeople, when they get a fax and they see the same template letter over and over again, which if we've got 30,000, most of them have been, you know, personalized. When they see that, they take notice and they read it, because it's not the same old form letter template. And so if everybody out there listening, if this is important to you and you want to have a voice in making a change so that we don't continue on the same path, I highly recommend go to the DisclosureProject.org website, use the online facts, put it in your own words, contact the president and your senator and your representatives, and let them know how you feel. And, you know, if everybody did that, imagine what type of, you know, our representatives are going to hear all those voting people out there, and hopefully we can help the secret government, which it seems to be trapped in its own loop. It just can't come out after years of lies upon lies and say, yes, it's true, instead of disclosing world technology sensitivities that could avoid it today's energy environmental crisis. but would have jeopardized our profits of oil cartels, so we had to keep it secret. And then, you know, wars then could not be, have to fought over oils, and would not jeopardize the industrial military complex for consortium profits or the continual creation of weaponry for war machine that needs to perpetuate this paradigm through, you know, false flag events and whatever. Anyway, all this dirty laundry would have to come out in the wash. So I'm hoping I would see that day.
Well, I'm with you. I for one am ready for laundry day. Let's go ahead and get the clothes clean. In your association with the Disclosure Project folks, have you had any professional relationships develop that have put you in touch with some of their stories that you might be able to share with us tonight?
Well, I developed a close relationship with the witnesses that when I was in Washington, D.C. I was in the Hilton, and I remember Carl Wolf, who was at an NSA facility, who you know, felt his life was threatened when he was exposed to the lunar orbiter showing an alien base on the other side of the moon that clearly showed dome, mushroom shape, and tower, you know, structures. This was, you know, back before we went to the moon. And he was, you know, thought, you know, 30 years he thought, you know, this would come out in the news. And he was, you know, feeling a little nervous, you know, going before major media. Actually, all the witnesses I had a very close affinity to, and you know, they're all extremely genuine people that felt that you know, this needs to come out.
Now, was that an
going in this direction that we're going?
To your knowledge, was that an abandoned base, or was that one that was still active at the time?
He saw these structures, and he was a photographic repair person that came on, and it was like scientists from all over the world at this facility in Langley, Virginia. And what the operator said, I believe I'm quoting exactly, oh, by the way, we've discovered a base on the other side of the moon, you know, and obviously it wasn't ours because we haven't been to the moon, right? So that, to me, should have been headlines all over every single major newspaper and media across the world. That testimony alone, you know, let alone, you know, Clifford Stone, who, you know, testified that we, and, you know, each witness, when they did their testimony, they said, these statements are true, and I'm willing to testify under oath before Congress. Thank you. You know, every single witness did that.
Yeah, that's. I remember that. That was really powerful. You're aware that Richard Hoagland was also an ABC reporter. In fact, he was the inside NASA man, and he was able to go back and get a copy of that original photograph, and he's showing it at his conferences. He has the original still shot from the other side of the moon showing that base.
Oh, fantastic. I haven't seen it, but, you know, things are leaking out all over. You know, it's interesting. He's an ABC newsman. You know, ABC sent their crew out, and I met with Dr. Greer over near Mount Shasta area where Peter Jennings was doing that special. And I had to sign all these releases and everything, and they interviewed me, and, you know, I just let it rip, you know, like what I'm saying with you on the show, you know, about, you know, what the witness testimonies were saying. When they got done with the show, all of that was cut out. Anything that had to do with anything that Dr. Greer was doing or any of the witness testimonies was all cut out, and they did the same old, everybody's so bored and tired with about, you know, the current UFOlogy, you know, specials that they do. That, you know, the same old cases and everything, but nothing, everybody senses there's something not quite right. They know there's much more to this, and they know the government knows, but you know, you brought up a good point earlier that, you know, it's not, there's, our government's not evil, or the CIA or NSA and everything. It's our, are operations that are happening within the government that they don't have access to.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you still? Okay. I heard a beep there. I wasn't sure if we.
Well, that beep.
You know, the first 2 hours got jammed by the NSA when we tried to do the National Press Club, so I didn't know what that beep was.
That beep means we have a caller on the line, and they need to give us their first name and where they're calling from.
Hi, this is Crystal from D.C.
Hi, Crystal. Welcome aboard.
Hi. Really enjoying your show today again, as usual. Yeah, I just first of all wanted to commend Dan for the work he's doing. I too really admire, the work that Stephen Greer. His name just slipped my mind for a moment. Stephen Greer has been doing, and I'm really excited about this information, the truth getting out, I just wonder this hidden government that has done such a good job of ridiculing anything that has to do with UFOs is, it's amazing. I think people, I keep in the loop and I see people now ridiculing Stephen Greer. And the only thing they can say about him is, oh, he goes out and uses his flashlight to call down aliens. You know, and I think, how could they have missed the point? Like these people, and then we're also hear about, any of this technology labeled as being pseudoscience, pseudoscience. And I think, is it maybe writing the government and doing, I don't know if that's going to help. I think our population needs to be educated somehow that, this is not a joke.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely right, Crystal. I mean, that is an amazing observation, and I'm thinking, how in the world can millions of people be out there? And Crystal's calling in and asking this question. Don't government officials realize how silly they look in our eyes, trying to hold to this 1950s type denial act? We're not blind. We're seeing thousands and thousands of UFO reports every single month. We know they're out there. They can't deny it. They might as well step forward, like Crystal.
Yeah, that's true, but the point I'm trying to make is, I've got a blog started, and I've gone onto forums and left very quickly because these people, just everyday normal people, they still will not acknowledge that there are UFOs. There was one forum I was on, and someone wrote in, and it's not like a paranormal forum or anything, but someone wrote in and said, "Boy, we saw in the area that I live in, my husband and I saw this UFO," and she went on to explain it. That her post had so few, there was maybe 100 people viewed it, which is a very low figure, and 3 people commented about, you're probably on pot, or what were you smoking? I thought, it didn't even raise anybody's curiosity, and this is a forum from the city I live in, and I think, I was fascinated. I thought, wow, that's, but it was just so, it seems to me like it's such a dirty, silly, ridiculous thing that people are just afraid to even talk about it now,
Well, we have many years.
Pardon me?
Yes, Crystal, we have many years of indoctrination of little green men ridicule factor, people have been indoctrinated that way, and
I know.
So
it's is so great that I just wonder, how do you undo something like that?
Well,
I've signed, I've done the talks thing, I just think, you know, the government can receive all those letters, but it's such a, on the other side of it, on the public view, it is still so untalked about, ridiculed. Like, it's just very strange. Like, I just can't make sense of it. You know, especially...
Crystal, people feel disempowered. They don't feel like they can do anything. They feel like the government, you know, is giving a deaf ear to this. But, you know, everybody knows, you know, that, you know, obviously, you know, the polls are that, you know, the majority of the populace, you know, knows UFOs are real. But they feel powerless to be able to make any change.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, because I know, like, for a period of time there, I think I just got, after I read Dr. Stephen, his last book, you know, and I was so, you know, moved by the information, and I just, after I put it down, I just almost gave up. I just thought, this is hopeless. This information's out there, I've read it, what can I do about it? I can't.
Well, education. The key is education.
Yeah, I can't even speak to people in my community about it because I was just slammed, you know, like called a pseudoscientist or gullible. You know, so, I mean, I keep my blog going anyway. I'm going to keep it going, and I'm going to put information out there and do my best. But, you know, you kind of feel like you're hitting your head against a brick wall sometimes, you know. But I guess we just have to keep on trying and not give up.
Well,
yeah,
they have done a very effective job of getting the crazy factor out with the whole, you know, aliens and making the whole thing into a little carnival circus, you know, so that this is what the masses are being exposed to. So that's what they're referencing to. But what needs to happen is education on the facts, and the facts that I base everything on is these witness testimonies. And, you know, because... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's the green, I mean, it's incredible, I mean, that those witnesses, I mean, how can anybody say, even have a question mark in their mind after listening to something like that? You know, these people are not idiots that are presenting their stories, you know. I mean, Dr. Stephen Greer is not some kind of a, you know, I don't know. I mean, he's a credible, intelligent person. I mean, what is it going to take, you know, to wake people up to just say something? I can't believe our world can be so, I don't know, lulled or uninterested or...
Well, I don't know that we're uninterested, Crystal. I think we're not empowered. We just don't have an ability to do much else than, you know, be on talk radio or watch TV. Even if we vote for elected officials, those officials can't do anything because they don't have access either.
Exactly. The empowerment.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a feeling. It's sort of a, you know, a sinking feeling of hopelessness sometimes, that you just want to turn your head away from it all and say, well, forget it. Nothing's going to change.
Crystal, you're not alone. I mean, the mass, I'm sure there's a lot of other people that echo the same sentiment. They feel, you know, you couldn't come out talking about this without being looked at like you're Looney Tunes, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you just can't be taken seriously. I mean, it's, and I think it's too bad. I think, gee, there's so many fascinating things out there that we can to discover and learn about, and I mean, they're real, they're real, you know, and I think, gee, it's, you know, I mean, except for maybe people that have actually had experiences with off-worlders, I mean, they know it's true, and, you know, but other than that, some people just still can't quite believe it either. They need, I think they need something really, something bigger, I don't know, it's got to be something that really, I don't know.
Well, the subject matter is so over the top, you know, from the average person, you know, that it actually is so, you know, like say, truth is stranger than fiction. So it actually keeps its own best secrecy just because it's so If you were to really know what is going on behind those black projects, which we have the witnesses willing to come forth to disclose, you know, which we are challenging, you know, Congress to do, you know, it's like we're saying we're willing to do it, you know, but you can tell who's on whose side by what they do or don't do.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, it's going to be, I hope in my lifetime anyway, something happens, because I'm really excited about all this stuff, and I'd like to see it come to fruition, you know? Like, I'd like to see the free energy in our world, and the wars stop, and ETs traveling around, and this, you know, I mean, it sounds so unreal, but
Crystal, do you want to have a voice? Go to, you have web access, I'm assuming. Go to disclosureproject.org. Mm-hmm. Voice your opinions to your representative. Mm-hmm. And it will help. Everybody that does that, it lends a voice. And the representatives aren't going to do anything until they hear an outcry from the people demanding that this issue be looked at.
Oh, yeah, I have done that, and I've joined the study thing and everything, you know.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And we thank you.
Thank you very much for being here and seeing the work that you're doing. I remember one day it'll all be worth it.
I think it will. And
every little voice helps.
You know what makes it worth it, Crystal? You know what makes it worth it is having you listen. Having listeners like you call in and voice your opinion and express your affection for what we're doing here. That's what makes it worth it.
Yeah. Well, it did. You know, really is from the bottom of my heart. I just so appreciate what you guys are doing, and you know, I try and do my little bit, whatever you know I can do. But thank you, and I'll just listen to the rest of your show.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in, Crystal.
Thank you.
Thank you, Crystal.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that's very typical of our listeners, but some of them can be quite energetic and can really hold you to the line a little better than I do. I have to defend myself from time to time because I say, in here the results are always positive, so I don't really bear down on my guests, but I do try to get them to tell as much of the story as they want to tell. Now, one question that I have is, do you think if this technology were to get into the wrong hands, say hands that have an evil design, that they could make, right-hand turns at 10,000 miles an hour and literally just fly around our jets like they're biplanes, do you think a nation armed with that kind of technology could take over the world? Could defeat the United States.
You bring up a good point, Brooks. I would say that, you know, judging the way the world is going right now, and as Eisenhower said, it's not in the best of hands, if we were to release these technologies that could stop the environmental damage, you know, give free energy to the world, you know, and all these wonderful, miraculous things that have been withheld for 50 years, they would have to be released in a very careful manner so that, you know, anything has a double-edged sword for what it could do for good, it could do for evil. I would say the fact that it's not overseen by our legal constitutional government, the constitution that you and I were sworn to protect against enemies, foreign, domestic, means that, as Eisenhower said, it's not in the best of hands. And obviously the way the world is going right now, with gas prices going up, environment being destroyed, obviously there's a better path, there's a better world that everyone could be experiencing. But,
I feel a little
trapped in this loop.
Yeah, well, I feel a little exposed right now because I realize that this rogue government, over which we have no constitutional control whatsoever, has the technology. And if they wanted to do a coup, they could easily do it. because they're armed with the technology. They've got the energy. They've got the ability to fly circles around and disable our technology. This rogue government, this rogue group, could, with a very small force, bring the entire world to its knees by force if it wanted to.
Well, if Wernher von Braun was saying, well, and Carol Rosen, she checked out everything he did after he passed away, and she said, oh my God, everything this man was saying is true. If what he's saying is true about the alien card that he kept saying to her over and over again, and the fact that we have witnesses that have established that we have these what's called alien reproduction vehicles, a hoaxed or false flag event that anybody, you know, just coming out of the shopping center would see these UFOs coming down and vaporizing, you know, whatever, you know, I don't even want to think of something like that happening, but if a false flag event could be executed, they have the technology to do that, and then would say, we need to build a multi-trillion weapon system to fight, you know, aliens from outer space. And then as, you know, I think Reagan made a statement and said, imagine if we had a threat from outer space, we'd have to drop all our distances and join our forces to fight this, you know, foe from outer space. I forget his exact quote, but something to that effect.
And maybe join all of our tax dollars, too, which is exactly what I would think this rogue government, if they ran out of budgets, would want to do. So you're saying that much like the Spanish-American War, like William Randolph Hearst said, you give me the photograph and I'll give you a war. And that's exactly what happened. So you have this group who could say, well, we'll just stage our own small alien invasion, put it on CNN, we'll shoot down a couple of ours, shoot down a couple of theirs, and they'll retreat. And then we'll go to the people and say, it's time to unite against the alien invaders. By the way, we're going to be taking a 30% income tax on all free nations in the world to do it.
Exactly, exactly. And you know what? It would be an easy sell, because the only thing that's coming out of the Disclosure Project is that UFOs are real. They're not saying anything about secret governments, and everybody's been heavily indoctrinated with, you know, all the evil alien movies and the abduction things you hear about in the UFO, which there's much indication that these abduction scenarios, which these black operations do perform, with, you know, this gets into like science fiction stuff if I start talking about it, you know, and I don't want to blow the credibility out, but I understand they have technology that has programmed life forms that can stage, and what it does is it implants this fear. And, you know, when you think about life forms that have survived without destroying themselves over thousands of years, and that can has technology that has craft that is conscious, that interacts with them, that can transverse the distance of space, and they live in a peaceful existence, for them to come here and start blasting us with phaser weapons that take over our planet, you know, it seems kind of ludicrous, but it could work for the industrial military complex to feed a multi-trillion-dollar weapons system up in space.
Yeah, especially for a public that has been Independence Day, Star Wars, Star Trek prepared for that kind of event. It would not be a hard sell at all.
Oh, yeah, let's go kick some, grab our American flag and kick some some alien butt, you know.
Well, I have a question. So this rogue government, oh, that beep means we have a phone call. Your first name and where you're calling from?
Gail from Tennessee.
Hi, Gail. Welcome to the program.
How are you gentlemen doing this evening?
Hey, we're doing awesome. Welcome aboard. Okay. What have you got?
Oh, I'm really enjoying this show. I have a question.
Sure.
You know, I was just, I went back to Google last night and I Googled in Phil Snyder. I'm sure we're all familiar with who he was. You know, the key word is was. After the 13 attempts, the 14th one, they did get him. And he's the one who claims that he was involved, and he was a geologist who worked for the government. and that he was one, you know, there were 66 government employees that were killed that day in a firefight with the little grays. Is that ringing a bell?
Wow. No, it doesn't ring a bell with me.
I've heard of that.
Well, his the last lecture that he did on the UFO circuit is, you can just go to Google and put in Phil Snyder and watch that show, and boy, I tell you, it's impressive. And that day, he, when they fired on him with their laser guns, it took two of his fingers off. He had all kinds of damage done to his body, but he survived. He was one of the, there was only two of them. No, wait a minute, three. And the other two were in Canada. And they are in, one's in a nursing home, and one is in a sane asylum. And Canada won't even allow the American officials to even interview them or talk to them. They consider them heroes in Canada. And Phil Snyder is the one who was able to survive that attack. And all he was armed with that day was just a pistol, you know, a military-issue pistol. And, of course, you know, these aliens had the technology with the laser guns. And his point is this, is that he was talking about all the underground bases. He named exactly where they are. One of them is Denver, Colorado. You know, the airport with all the strange murals on it.
Yeah, I just flew into it the other day.
Pardon?
I just flew into it the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard things. Heard things about there being a complex underneath that airport.
He said it goes down eight stories.
Wow.
And he was talking about that there's 1 million people every year, adults, that are just disappear. And I forget how many kids, children, that he said. And they are captured and taken to these underground bases. And I guess my point I want to make tonight, or and ask also the guest here, because I didn't catch your name. I'm sorry, sir.
It's Dan Willis.
I'm sorry. Anyway,
no problem, Dale.
You know that not all of these aliens have our best interest of humanity at heart. And because we have a rogue government that's out of control with their black ops, where do you think that we as...
I don't know that, by the way.
Pardon?
I said I don't know that if... I know that there are paramilitary operations that have worked with, but, you know, I personally don't know any inside information other than, I know there's military operations here on Earth that we're working with, I've heard with the gray operations. I don't like to speak of anything I don't have a first-hand experience with.
Right. Well, you know, it was interesting even in this interview that they showed Phil Snyder held up some different artifacts. One was a line that was over 2 million years old that had been what they called agatite. It had turned into agatite, and the only way that happened is from a nuclear explosion. And the point that he was making is that, you know, we act like here on this planet right now that this is the only time that we've ever had nuclear capabilities, but I think the evidence of archaeology show that nuclear capabilities in other civilizations have certainly been here way before this one.
I believe that, Gail, too.
Yeah. But
doesn't it make sense, though, if these off-planet cultures that are coming here to visiting us, and there's apparently been many, many cases. If they want, with their technology, if they wanted to destroy us, they could.
That's true, but why not? But it would be a serious, even for them, it would be a serious military undertaking. And they don't want to destroy the fauna or the, shall we say, food source on this planet. They need us. And so why would they want to destroy the whole thing if they can take it from within?
Well, some of that makes...
The Russians made a comment a long time ago about America. They said that they'd never have to fire a shot, that America would be taken over through communism and fascism from within. And, Lord...
We're thinking from an Earth mindset.
Yeah, I believe that's kind of an Earth...
We're thinking that the extraterrestrials that would come here from another galaxy would come here so they could, behind the scenes, manipulate the human race...
Right.
Their own agendas. That's what you're saying.
Right. I
find that one hard to swallow. I don't see a race that has such advanced spiritually, advanced technologically, advanced such that they would come here for the to toy with us. You know, it does not. It is my own personal opinion, of course.
Right.
It does not seem to gel, but it does make sense that people that are within our government, that are within these black secret operations that are outside of our control of the legal government, they do have a reason to maintain the secrecy because, they can't come out with the dirty laundry about all the wars we didn't need to do over oil, all of the...
Exactly.
They have a good reason not to come out, and they really can't. They need some help.
Yeah. It's even like on the schoolyard or in school, even when you're a little kid. The more lies you tell, the more you have to tell to keep covering up the ones that you already told.
Pretty soon,
it's like I don't even know how to come out, and they all. Well, I think they know what we'll probably do to them if they do come out.
like Sarah McLennan was quoted by George Bush Sr., if they found out what we were doing,
they'll
chase us down the street and lynch us, And,
I have to wonder.
They're not flawless. My mother used to say, the devil always leaves the lid off of the cookie jar,
Yeah.
So there's always some little slip-ups here and there, but, they've got such enormous resources to keep the noise level up of all the craziness out there and put out so much fear into all the different UFO communities and stuff, and I kind of keep at it from a distance, but, there's a lot of fear and a lot of craziness going out there in the UFO community.
Oh, yeah.
So I try to stick to everything that the witness testimonies are saying because, these guys are admirals, generals, astronauts, they have no motivation to lie
and make up some crazy story. Just as I think Phil Snyder was totally telling the truth, too. He risked his life to put out the information that he did, and they eventually got him. He just told a little too much. And so they had to silence him, and that they did. I think, the ETs have been around for millennia.
Sure, longer than that.
There are even modern cults. There's many references even to it in the Bible, if people would open their eyes.
Sure.
I don't know how this is all going to end up, but you remember Eric Von Braun said that he predicted everything that has happened thus far up to this point. And he said the next thing to happen was that they'll declare that we have a war with off-worlders, and when in fact it really isn't. And well, we already know that this rogue government's been shooting down benign ETs for quite some time because they
That's
have the
true.
Technology to do it today.
And yes, it's pulse weapons.
Yes. Yeah. They shoot them down once they get too far down in our atmosphere. So, it's dangerous for them to even try to come in. And I have heard that that's why that the ETs are doing a lot of contact south of the equator because those societies there seem to be more conducive and more open to this disclosure and communication and interacting with them than what the northern hemisphere does because we're still in the mode of we're like in the gold rush of late 1800s, early 1900s. We got to have it all, for America to keep its lifestyle. And that's another thing that Phil Snyder brought out in that video was that he said that the government, black ops, and you know this black government, secret government operations they have going on. That the technology that they already have is 40 to 50 years out from what leaks out to the public for use.
That's
have you
right.
Heard anything of that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's
what
true.
Our witness testimonies are saying.
And yes. Dan made a very powerful point. Dan made a very powerful point that if this technology is let out in the public, there are some nasty players out there that have been very bold with their public statements of genocide and annihilation of other nations. And if they had this technology in their hands, which they definitely have the money to buy it, the rest of the world would be in deep trouble.
I know.
That's why it needs to be very carefully, if disclosure happens and if we're able to get to that laundry cleaning day, if that can happen, it has to be carefully disseminated for the good of mankind.
Well, you know, if we don't do something about this, and I mean we as the human race, and the whole mess we've got ourselves in, and there's no reason to keep polluting this planet like we're doing. We are.
Oh, it's awful.
This is genocide for the whole species.
Well, not,
you're right on the money.
Not just man. There are lots of species going extinct every single year.
The technology is already there. There are just some greedy people who now they own everything that they own materialistically on this planet. Now they're out for the human soul.
Amen, Crystal.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that are in these black projects that when they originally got involved into it, they didn't know the direction it was going to go. And I think there's a lot of people, and I'm hoping they will come forth and join the other witnesses in disclosure and let the public know that, you know, that it's going in not the best direction and
this,
it's not the best intent.
This is not right. This is not about your government, your country. This is about the very survival of the human species.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen.
Oh, thank you very much,
thank
Crystal.
You.
Thanks for calling in. Well, I told you we had listeners out there that are very spirited, and they have very strong opinions.
Yeah, it's a subject that, you know, when it has to do with the destruction of the entire planet, yeah, you get kind of passionate about it.
Yeah, and you know, our listeners like Crystal, they have a lot of energy, and they take a lot of care about, you know, what's going on in the world. They are not docile at all. They're very energetic, and they take action. They write letters, they write books, they come on programs, they show up at conferences. They spend their money and vote according to these passions. And this is the kind of listener that gravitates to this program, because we bring great guests on like you and get you to tell your story, and you've got, you know, such close personal relationships with some of the best testimony that's ever been given in public. And that's what they're passionate about. And that beat means we have another caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Brooks. This is Robin. I'm calling from Charlotte.
Welcome.
Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Great show. I'd like to challenge a few males. It looks like a show with women callers all night tonight. Apparently we're the only ones who are aware. I'd like to see if there's a few men out there who listen to the show that can actually step up to the plate and put in a few calls, too. My question is going to be a simple one, and I'm like Crystal, too. I do feel like I'm walking around in a society of pod people, very properly put earlier, Dr. Agnew. And when you do bring, you have very credible information there. I mean, there's, and documentation to back this up. It's amazing to me that this is not, I mean, when we'll sit there and we'll spend months talking about a missing person on the news and covering it nonstop, that we can't get some, 10 minutes of fair media exposure to this and to the Disclosure Project and just looking at it. As far as you...
The media is famous for doing that.
Yeah, well, and the thing is that we, it's like you said, France has just disclosed, I think it was a month and a half ago, they were they disseminated all their UFO information. Mexico's done it, and just like Dr. Agnew said, you know, it's plenty of countries have brought forth information, haven't had a problem with it. The fact that our government seems to be the only one who's unaware of it, and our CIA and our special, I don't know why we have these agencies if they're not up to snuff. They're certainly not as good as the Mexican, apparently, military or Secret Service or CIA equivalent, whatever. And we can't document this stuff. It makes me very nervous to when I start thinking about my government and what is it doing, and really who is controlling it then. I have a problem when France and Britain is aware of this stuff and publishing it, and we're not. And I think that kind of thing, you can humiliate the government into looking into it. Maybe that's what we're going to have to do, or people to look into it, and see it's a very viable discussion, because it does play out in the end, to me, to energy, to new energy sources, to over-unity energy sources, and that we don't have to be sitting here using gasoline anymore, and that we can be off a grid and still heat and air condition our homes and use environmentally safe energy products. And I think every American should be screaming right now, should be fed up with this. I mean, you spend thousands of tax dollars every year. Everybody's working, you know, almost half a year for the government, and what do we get back?
That's a very, very good point.
Disclosure Project can't get out there, and I mean, and I know you're doing your part, Dan, you're on the show, but it just seems like there's got to be more venues, more ways of being able to, other than just write the congressman, there's got to be other things that can be done.
Yes, there is. You know, once people become aware of this fact, like you are, you know, educate, you know, besides sending a fax, which I, again, highly recommend everybody to do. Imagine if all the listeners actually did that.
Yeah.
By the way, I read all the faxes, so when you send them in, I get the chance to read your fax, you know, going into Washington, you know, because I monitor the system. You know, public hearings, call your media and hold them accountable for accurate and full accounting of this report. You know, contact your local media, your major media, let them know of this issue, and that, you know, I think if more and more people speak up, I think what's happening is, you know, they did a little blip like we talked about earlier on the show and showed how the only thing they were saying was, you know, they want to have hearings about the reality of UFOs, and there's no direct impact in anybody's life by that happening. So people are just going to ignore it, of course. But if they were to say, well, we have the technology so you don't have to go to the gas pump anymore, you don't have to go work for the electric bill, you know, things that hit the pocketbook of everybody, then, oh boy, you're going to have some real attention.
You almost have to make the word UFO synonymous with free energy. Over unity energy. And by the way, too, I'm amazed, too. We have a governor here of Arizona who came out within the last few months basically saying that he perpetuated a hoax on his constituents, and that there actually was a real UFO that was over Phoenix. It wasn't like
that. That's right.
He actually did see it. And why wasn't this pursued? Why didn't the Congress at that point, why weren't they motivated then to be looking into the disclosure project and looking and having these hearings? Shouldn't that have been something that precipitated that, or, you know, if, you know...
Well, unless you're under oath, it is not against the law for a politician or a government official to lie in public.
Well, were they claiming he was lying?
Well, if he came out and deceived the people by saying, no, those were just weather balloons,
okay.
Those were aviation flares.
He came out recently saying he lied about it, that there actually was a UFO, and he actually did see it.
His conscience may have bothered him. I don't know the events surrounding it, but, you know, a lot of people who...
At that point have been able to say, oh, my gosh, we've got a governor here who said he saw it. He saw it, too. He perpetuated years ago a hoax and said that the Phoenix lights were just flares. Now he's coming and telling the truth and saying they weren't flares. And, by the way, I don't know why every American... isn't at least their eyebrows aren't being raised a little bit about this. But
others,
Congress at that point say, you know, this guy's coming out. Maybe we ought to have that hearing now.
A lot of people have been keeping the status quo, so it keeps their safe little job positions and stuff like that. But, you know, the world is getting to such a critical point where, you know, as I said in the CBS interview, the only thing that got out was that, you know, we've reached a critical time where the truth needs to be revealed to the people. And that's what's happening is people are who have been maintaining the status quo are starting to see, you know, oh, this is getting bad. You know, this is not looking very good. It's getting worse and worse, and it's not getting any better. And they're starting to think twice that I don't want to go on the sinking ship. You know, we need to do something for, you know, our future generations, our children, you know, before, you know, we just destroy this planet with...
before it's too late. I agree with you, Dan. Well, thank you for letting me at least get in my question and that, and I'll get off, and maybe if there's enough time, maybe a guy caller can call in and put his two cents worth on this, too.
Well, unfortunately, there is not enough time. We have come to the end of another three-hour broadcast of X Squared Radio. It is now 5 minutes of 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And in order to give me enough time for the next guest, our next host to come on, we have to end in about the next 2 minutes. So I so appreciate you coming on the program. And I don't have a problem at all with nothing but women calling this program, especially when they're as bright and intelligent and passionate as the ones that have come on tonight. And I got to appreciate my guest, Dan, for coming on tonight, Dan Willis. He is going to be on Coast to Coast here pretty soon, so this is kind of a practice session for him. We appreciate him coming on, and we appreciate the work that he does with Disclosure Project. So are there any parting words that you would like to leave with our audience?
Well, just thank you, Brooks, for letting me share my small piece. I'm just a regular guy that discovered about this, and I just happen to have a top secret clearance and have one small piece of what hundreds of witnesses are saying. I'm very appreciative of your radio show being able to get this message out to the public. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. Thank you so much, and anytime you want to come back on X Squared Radio, we'll call you or any of the other Disclosure witnesses if they want to come on. Make sure they get a hold of me, and we'll give them airtime. Thanks again, Dan. Thanks again,
my listeners.
I really
enjoyed doing this for you, Brooks. Thank you.
No problem, no problem. The archive will be up tonight, so those of you that are coming in on Tuesday morning to work will be able to access this, and make sure that you go to disclosureproject.org and send in those faxes. And I will play
Thank you.
All right. Thank you and good night. And I will play my exit. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.